With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Brian McNally's back on the bench from the sports capital in D.C., senior staff writer to talk about the Redskins with us. How's it going, Brian?
Scotty, what's up, bud? How are you?
Cool, man. So this is a devastating injury for that Darius Geis, and more so the Redskins. What happened? Because, you know, originally he played like it was nothing. He just hyperextended it. But by the time he flew home, and then when they went and did the MRI, it was a whole different story. And then it's really bad for them. Now they're scrambling, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so, Scott. The Redskins had the 28th best run offense in the league last year. They just weren't very good. Now, some of that, it was offensive line injuries. I mean, they were decimated up front last year. We all know that. At the running back spot, they were also hit. Chris Thompson, really good third down back, went out. So we get all that. There were reasons the Redskins were as bad as they were, but they needed improvement too. They needed more talent up front. They needed the kind of guy they really haven't had there. Even with Alfred Morris, if you credit him for some of his good years, this is really the most talented back they've had since Clinton Portis in his prime. So that, you know, they spent a second round draft pick on him. He was going to upgrade them at that spot. And now, you know, on essentially just because of a tackle that didn't even look almost like a non-contact injury. He didn't have anyone fall on him. He just had his knee grip the grass and shredded some ligaments. So he's out for the season, and it's a rough one for the Redskins.
He thinks, like Guy said, he thought he was fine, that there was nothing wrong with it. He knew his body. How wrong that ended up being.
Yeah, I mean, and you always do that with athletes, especially, Scott. You think about it and you go, you know what? He's the last guy that wants to admit that something could be seriously wrong. And so if he can hop around a little bit, we see this with ACLs every once in a while where a guy will just kind of hop around or move. And, you know, he's like, it doesn't hurt that bad. I think I'm fine. And he starts telling people around him he's okay. And then you kind of see it the next day when they actually get him in the MRI exam room and check him out that he's not fine. It's not close. And I've seen this happen before, multiple sports. I'm sure he thought he was. I'm sure he felt okay with the movement in the knee and all that stuff. But, you know, sometimes you just don't exactly know what's going on until you get the doctors to give you a full examination. So, you know, it's rough. I mean, he was poised. He was going to have a good rookie season. I mean, they were going to give him carries. He was going to get a big opportunity. And now he's got to wait till next year, and the Redskins kind of have to figure out what to do going from here.
Brian McNally with us from the sports capital in D.C. You know, they blew that game, too, on top of everything else. They were they were up 17-0, and then everything crumbled on them, and they lost to the Pats. None of that matters. Preseason finals mean nothing. But at some point, you have to see that you're up 17-0, and you never score again, that it's a bad sign. I mean, it's just to me, it's a horrible sign that when you got a game in the bag, you got to close the deal.
Yeah, and especially for a team like that's knows it has an issue in the run game, to lose a guy like that, it's going to sting even more. And that was really, it really lost that game defensively. I mean, the Patriots just kind of rammed it down their throat for a good chunk of the second half. I think they went on like a 19 play drive, just a little bit ridiculous. The Redskins, obviously that's something they need to clean up. They were not very good against the run last year. And granted, those were not guys who necessarily are going to be on the team. They sat out a couple of their main defensive linemen. Their first-round draft pick, Daron Payne, is also injured, so he may not be back until a little bit later in camp with a knee injury. Jonathan Allen is coming back, their first-round pick the year before. So they should be better up front, but that is it. If they're going to be in the playoff mix, if they're going to be one of these 8-8, 9-7 teams in the NFC that can at least make a push, they're going to need those guys to be better because they just weren't good enough up front stopping the run last season.
Didn't I mean, Tim Settle played really well last night, and I thought because he was like their fifth rounder, right? And so he was playing in Payne's stead. Is that accurate? And then so they must at least, even though Payne, the kid out of Alabama, is a big boy and he's banged up with an injury right now that you were speaking of, they have to be at least very positive on what they're seeing from Settle last night, that he was in there banging and getting the job done.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by Settle. He had a really good game. He was, the Patriots were like having to double team, and he was shaking off tackles. And granted, it was the second half, so those Patriots players are not the top offensive linemen on their team. But Settle was really good, and he's going to push the veterans, the Ziggy Hoods and the Phil Taylors. Those are the guys that are in trouble if Tim Settle is, you know, look, if you look at him and say, okay, he can play, we need to keep him, and it's not just a practice squad situation. So that'll be an interesting one to watch. Again, the Redskins are, for the first time, I think, since I've covered them, Scotty, are young up front, like, and have a lot of talent. If Tim Settle can get in that mix with Payne and Jonathan Allen, they're going to be in pretty good shape. And so that was a good start for him if he wants to steal one of these vets' jobs going through the rest of training camp.
Brian McNally with us from the Sports Capital in D.C. on a bench. What did you think of because they love Colt McCoy, right? And they just think he's the perfect backup for Smith and that he knows the offense and he can get in a rhythm. That's the plan, right? And they like him. They love him as Smith's backup.
Yeah, I mean, they extended him. They signed Kevin Hogan right in the summer. So we thought, oh, well, maybe this is a way to kind of push McCoy, who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Maybe he's on his way out. And then like 3 weeks later, they signed McCoy to a contract extension. So he will be back again as the backup next year to Alex Smith. So, yeah, I mean, look, he's been on the team. He's been here since Jay Gruden has been here. He really had a chance to start that first year he was in the mix with Kirk Cousins and Robert Griffin III, started a couple of games, won a Monday night game in Dallas, really hasn't played much since. God, Kirk Cousins took over, and that was it. So for him, I mean, he's the perfect guy. He knows the offense. He can come in and play. He's a security blanket. And for Jay Gruden or an offensive coach, that is the ultimate in a backup quarterback. You want a veteran who you feel like you can trust if something goes wrong with the starter. And, you know, Colt McCoy may not generate a lot of headlines, or wouldn't, if he came in, people wouldn't, you know, go crazy, but you know, the Redskins would feel okay with him in there in an emergency situation.
So, you know, Andy Reid always spoke glowingly of Alex Smith and how he can do so much quickly at the line and get rid of the ball and, you know, make plays. And he said before that, you know, he can make plays that would normally be run plays, that he'll just make that play with a quick pass. And he knows how to check and do things at the line because of his experience. But I'm going to ask you this, Flush. Do you think that it's basically, in not so many words, like watching the same guy as Cousins? I mean, I think they're about the same player.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of pure talent, I think you're right. I think they are not, if you're going to rank, if you're going to put all the quarterbacks in a bin, like these, you know, Tom Brady's in tier one and you got other guys in tier two and three, these, whatever, however you want to separate that, these guys are going in the same bin probably. So in that respect, except the Redskins are paying, what, $10 million less under the salary cap, or $8 million less for Alex Smith than Kirk Cousins. So ultimately that's why that move was made. I mean, they just didn't want to commit the resources it would have taken to keep a free agent like Cousins around or do the mess with the franchise tag and all that. So I think they're happy. I mean, they extended him. He's going to be here into his late 30s, or he can be.
Right.
The contract is not, like, too onerous. I mean, they can get out of it if they want to in a couple of years without, you know, a terrible penalty. So
right.
I think they're okay. They feel like they put themselves in a good spot where now they can try to draft someone behind him. They have a good backup they're comfortable with. And Alex is, you know, he's not 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know where you want to rank him, but they feel comfortable enough. He can, with his success in Kansas City, he can help them make a playoff push this year.
Yeah, I got to tell you though, like when you're telling me this stuff, I have to say that, you know, initially you said they were saving all this money, and I've never, this is me, and you know him better than I do, but I've never known them to be cheap. I've never known Snyder to not spend money. Like they have more money than God. I don't understand you know, frankly, they have to understand that you cannot win a Super Bowl anymore without a great quarterback. And I don't think either one of them are great at all. And I think that's why they don't matter. I think Cousins is overrated. And I think Alex Smith is clearly who he is. I mean, we all know who he is. He gets teams to the playoffs and then he loses.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter.
And that's ultimately you find yourself in this mid-level, right, Scott, where you're good enough to compete. Like, if the Redskins won 8 or 9 games, you wouldn't be shocked. You'd be like, okay, they have good players. They have Ryan Kerrigan and Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis and their receivers, Jamison Crowder. They're good. Trent Williams, like, they have Pro Bowlers, multiple Pro Bowlers. They're a fine team, but are they good enough? Like, are they good enough to do more than just sit in that kind of mid-level of the NFL's, you know, 8-8, 9-7, maybe if things break right, 10-6, but are you picking them in the playoffs? Do you
No.
think they're going to win a game?
No.
They might be, you know, in that kind of spot, and I don't know how you necessarily get out of that. I mean, their star players are in their late 20s. They're all under contract. This is kind of the group they have, so I don't know if it gets much better than this for them.
Aren't they playing for a wild card? I mean, like, right out of the gates, because you cannot tell me that that team is better than the Eagles. I mean, honestly, the Eagles could win that division drunk.
It'd be impossible for you to sit here and say the Eagles are not only not the favorite, but, you know, should win that division comfortably. Now, we know anything can happen in the NFL and all of that, but it's really hard to believe that this is anything other than for the Giants, Cowboys, and Redskins, and really probably just for the Cowboys and Redskins to me, that you're shooting for the wild card right out of the gap.
I actually think they will be, believe it or not, the same as the Cowboys. I think those are the two teams that'll, you know, pretend like they're in it with the Eagles for most of the season. And then once they get to week 11 or 12, it'll be over. And then I think those two will be, like, trying their damnedest to get a wild card, which I don't, frankly, think they'll get. So my question to you is this. Is Jay Gruden ever on a hot seat there at some point or another? Because I mean, it's just been a whole lot of mediocrity.
No doubt. I mean, they won a division title, but they won it at 9-7 in a down year for the division in 2015. And since then, they have been, I think they were 8-7-1 the year after, and then 7-9 last year. So, you know, Jay's not on a hot seat because they gave him a contract extension last year. He goes through 2020. As you mentioned, Dan Snyder not afraid to pay money when he thinks he needs to get out of something. But, you know, Jay's kind of tied at the hip with Bruce Allen there. I think there would have to be a significant downturn or really a significant downturn for them to part ways with Jay this season. I mean, I can't imagine it happening, but it would have to really be like a 3 or 4 win season for them to then eat the money that they would have to eat to move on from him at this point. The extension doesn't even kick in until next year. So that's kind of where they are. Again, it's kind of back to what we talked about.
I don't understand.
Mid-level.
I really don't understand. I'll be honest with you. Why does a guy give an extension to a guy that's losing? I just don't, like, you're losing and you're mediocre and you do nothing and you don't amount to a hill of beans, but they keep giving him money. I mean, is it me or am I high or what is it? I don't get it because it's unbelievable.
I think they were kind of doing that thing where they knew if they didn't extend him last, I think it was at the combine March of 2017. It was kind of one of those things like you either extend Jay now or you let him go into the second to last year of his contract in rough shape. And they decided at the time, they're like, you know what? We won a division last year. We think we're going to bounce back. Let's give him this.
But they made the wrong decision.
In that respect, yeah, it's tough to say. Oh, no, they're totally fine. I mean, again, as you pointed out, they haven't done anything. They're not a team that you're going to pick to win in the playoffs. They don't appear good enough to do that. So you're stuck in this middle level. And are you happy being there? How do you get out of it? How do you take that next step? That's not easy. And they're going to have Doug Williams and the the front office and Bruce Allen are going to have to figure that out. That's not an enviable task to be in.
You know, if they could play better with Smith in the red zone than what they've been the last couple of years, which is terrible. They were like 28th, then they were 16th. It's just
awful.
Not good enough.
Yes.
When you're middle of the road, you suck. And you need to – I think they need to throw the ball more to Reed. I think they need to get into the end zone when they're in the red zone. Easier said than done. And I think one of the things that will interfere with that is Geis's injury. They have to do something to get a back that knows how to get in the end zone inside the 5-yard line when they're in the red zone and they need 2 heavy yards. I think that's going to be their season. If they can figure out a way to get the ball in the end zone more inside the 20, inside the 10, inside the 5, instead of the constant mediocrity that we've seen from that football team, then I think they'll be better. If they do that, they could win 10 games. If they don't accomplish that, I think they're going to be average again, and all they're doing is paying all these people tons of money to lose. Brian, always a pleasure. Great stuff as usual. I'll catch up with you as the season gets going.
Sounds good, Scotty. Thank you.
All right, Brian McNally, senior staff writer for the Sports Capital in D.C.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.